Welcome back to my show. As you all know, in the previous episodes, I've hyped up the special guest so much. I even gave you guys a clue on who she is, and that clue was so big that I guess you would have found out by now who she was. If you guys couldn't guess or didn't know who it was despite me telling you such a big clue, don't worry about it because you're going to find out soon enough. In fact, the special guest is with me right now. So, hi, mystery guest. Could you please reveal yourself and maybe tell a bit about yourself and give synopsis of your books and as well as your TV career?
Sure. I had no idea I was a mystery guest, but I'm very excited and really happy to be on your show. So thank you for inviting me. My name is Toni Gallagher. I have written two middle grade novels. The first one is called Twist My Charm, The Popularity Spell. And the second one is called Twist My Charm, Love Potion Number 11. But a very interesting thing about my career, in addition to writing children's books, is that I've spent more than 25 years working in reality TV. So I started as a lowly story editor and worked my way up to an executive producer of all kinds of shows that you may or may not know, including Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, The Real World, which is one of the original reality TV shows on MTV. And currently I'm on a show on Lifetime called Married at First Sight.
That sounds fantastic. So any parents or any grown-ups watching this episode, you guys should definitely check out that show and the other shows she has produced. For the young writers and young listeners listening to this, I would not recommend listening to watching those episodes or watching those shows without parental guidance. Although you're completely free to check out the books Toni has written, they're amazing and perfect for you guys if you love magic and friendship and like really good chemistry between friends. If you love those kind of things, that book is definitely for you. So Toni, you're a TV producer, so how's that experience helped you write your books?
There are so many ways that writing for television has helped me write my books. Now, I started writing, and I've been writing stories since I was a very young child. I have a bound book that we put together when I was in fourth grade. So I have never stopped writing stories. And when I moved to Hollywood, I tried to write television episodes and movie scripts, but I fell into reality TV. And at the beginning, it was like, how long am I going to be able to do this for a career? And who knew it was going to last as long as it has? But what's interesting about, you don't write for reality TV because you go out and you film the real lives of people. So what you have to do is shape the story based on what they filmed with the real people, which is almost harder than writing a book because you only can choose from what you have filmed already. So for me, it really helped me decide what is interesting to an audience, how to structure a scene to make somebody want to stay and continue watching. And that connects to reading. When you get to the end of a chapter and you want somebody to keep reading, you need to know how to do that. And also putting together an episode of a reality show, you need a plot that has a beginning and middle and end, and it might continue from episode to episode, but you need to know how to structure. And you also know if there's a plot hole because the show just doesn't make sense sometimes and you need to figure out what's missing. So all of those kinds of things and more can translate into writing for children or writing for anyone.
Definitely. What you just said about shows, sometimes shows are episodes which are continuations. Like if the story is about a girl trying to find her pet who got lost, it could just be a continuation of each episode showing how she tries to find. So it's kind of like each episode has a beginning and an end, but that end is kind of like a cliffhanger which makes you want to see the next episode. Now this is also commonly seen in Marvel shows, like the newest show called The Runaways. Again, this is also a show which I would recommend if you're in the teen section because it has some profanity and language in it. So again, be mindful when watching these. So this episode actually, I would say, is dedicated mainly to teens and above. But of course, if you're a kid, then you're definitely fine with watching this episode. Just make sure that if you're planning on watching any of these things we are mentioning, to have like a parent or guardian be with you when you're like viewing them. But of course, the books, again, as I said earlier, are definitely for you, and you can definitely read them.
Yes, the Twist My Charm books are middle grade, so they're kind of targeted to 8 to 12-year-olds, but I know people over 12 have really enjoyed them too.
Definitely. I feel like middle grade just kind of like categorizes your book into a section, but that doesn't mean adults or people above the age of 12 cannot read it, because I think for YA as well, YA is for ages 15 to 15 and beyond. And I've known many adults reading YA books. I've seen, so actually, the sweet age of 14 is very hard to find books. I'm 14 and it's super hard because you're in between 13 and 15, right? So it's like, you do not, middle grade is too young for you, and then YA becomes too mature. So then you have to find like the books right in between which have perfect content in it for you, right? So that's another thing where shows come in, where some shows, they have like, they're for garner towards kids, but they have some themes which a show for adults would have. So sometimes a show seems like it's for kids, but then ends up having material or things in it which are actually dedicated towards adults.
I worked on one reality show that you can probably find on YouTube. It was called Bug Juice, and it was about kids at summer camp, real kids at summer camp who were basically 10 to 12 years old. We did it way back in the year 2000 for 3 seasons, and then it got rebooted for 1 season in 2017 on the Disney Channel. So oh, wow. For younger audiences, even now, I mean, granted, it took place in, you know, the late 90s, but I think kids going to summer camp is going to be the same always. They're going through the same thing. So it's a fun show for kids.
Yeah, okay. So everyone who's listening to this episode, and that, again, as Tony just said, Bug Juice is amazing. I have seen a few episodes, I think, on YouTube and a few places. And I think it's also in Disney Plus. So if you guys have a subscription to Disney Plus or Netflix, you guys could check it out. Of course, I may be wrong here because there are many shows and episodes and movies which are having the same name or relating. So I might be wrong there, but you can do some research and find a few episodes to watch with your families. Okay, so on to my next question. I know you've been talking a lot about what shows you produced and all of that stuff. So what would be one of the shows you enjoyed most while working on it, and what did you like about it?
Oh, it's funny that I just mentioned Bug Juice, because that really was one of my favorites. You know, these were real kids. They weren't trying to become famous and rich or anything like that. They were just living their lives. The producers in the field, which is at the camp, never stopped down to tell the kids what to do. They just had to chase and run and follow whatever the kids did. And then it was very fun to try to figure out what stories to put in which episodes, because we had so many people in the cast, so many characters to choose from. So it was like, which story went with which other story? Because it didn't have to be chronological and in order the way things happened. So sometimes we would find like a theme, like about, you know, maybe a friendship theme or an overcoming your fear theme. So that was really fun. And I'm actually thinking about writing a new book with the topic of summer camp, because that was one of my favorites.
That sounds fantastic. So again, I really liked how you told me that like summer camp, I think, is like a main, like I think even movies now, shows, they're all revolving around summer camp. Like, have you seen the show called Bunked?
Yes, I've heard that's on Disney Channel too, isn't it?
Yeah, Disney Channel, Disney Plus, yeah. And I don't think it's on Disney Plus, but I think it's on Netflix. But even then, like, it also actually depends. This brings me to my next point, which is that for a story, be it a book you're writing or a show you're writing, you have like this main thing where you have to make sure your audience or your readers staying in depth and still watching, not fast forwarding through the episode or through the story, because sometimes like in Bunk, any Bunk followers here, if you are, you love Bunk through season 5, I respect you all. And if you are the kind of person who's sensitive towards what other people say about your favorite shows, then I would tell you guys to fast forward a little bit, because you do not want to hear what I'm saying right now. I'm not saying anything bad, but just my own opinions, which is that Bunked was amazing. It was an amazing summer camp show with a lot of drama, friendship, all those themes explored. But then at some point, after season 3, once the main characters left, most of the main characters left, and things started changing, it started losing its spark, and then 4th season came, 5th season came, and now they're thinking, for making season 6 and introducing more characters. Now, when it comes to that, the story loses its spark because the people you love the most, the characters you are so in touch with, are gone. And then you start thinking that this is not really the original Bunk you thought it would be, right? It could just not be for this, for Bunk, it could be for any story, right?
Oh, for sure. And actually, the third Twist My Charm book, if I were to write one, I thought about setting it that at summer camp. And a friend of mine said, your readers will probably miss her school friends if you set a whole new story with the same character at camp. So that's a very smart thing that you noticed for that show.
Yes, definitely. I think that it's a common mistake sometimes which happens to you as a writer or as a screenwriter. The main problem is sometimes that we get so engaged in writing stories, we forget that it has to connect. Something that readers can connect, audience can connect with. Because, again, you can write a million books, but only if your books are connecting or in somewhat similar or giving you the same, like, if you're a fantasy writer and then you suddenly start writing a horror book, no one's going to really understand what's going on unless you are briefly telling that you're a fantasy and horror writer. If your bio says that you're a fantasy writer, out of nowhere your horror book appears and a child is looking and I'm like, oh my goodness, this author I love so much is into murder and things like that. It'd be so sad for them because they have expected so many like fantasy books under their favorite author's belt and then realize she also writes horror. What is going on? Right? Well, they do not know what is book and little reader.
On the opposite side of that, I think it's also kind of, we should let authors try new things and explore new, you know, terrain. But if they're not good at it, that's when it's disappointing, right?
Definitely.
Or if it's like not marketed correctly and you think you're going to read one type of book and it turns out to be another type of book. But I can promise you, you're not going to see any murders or really any horror in any of my books.
Yeah, because as we just said, writers should feel free to experiment. Make sure to experiment, like try writing a few books in that genre. Like if you're deciding, this is actually a great tip for everyone out there listening. If you're writing, then you should make sure that if you're wanting to try something new, maybe write a few stories, a few books in that genre before you set out on publishing that. Because you do not want your image to be broken, especially if you have many books under your belt or writing for like a company or writing for a story competition. You want to make sure that the submissions you're doing is in your range and something that you can actually be good at. So again, as I just said, if you're writing fantasy but you want to try horror, maybe you could slowly come towards it. Maybe you could write a 6-word story, write a haiku with horror involved in it, or a short story, and then slowly build up to a novel, write more, and then after that maybe think about publishing it, maybe in a competition or through a traditional publishing route.
Good advice.
My next question for you is, what made you want to become a TV producer as well as an author?
I think it's been just that my whole life I've loved telling stories and I've loved seeing things around me and just recording them in any way, shape, or form. So I loved writing stories from when I was a kid. I've loved taking photographs since I was a kid. I would scrapbook my whole life. I have scrapbooks recording my life. Might not be the most interesting life in the world, but I like looking back on it. And then I think just, you know, TV and film were just both things that I just enjoyed my whole life, as well as books. And maybe it also seemed kind of cool to move to California where it was warm and sunny instead of, you know, staying in Pennsylvania where it could be very cold in the winters and being a novelist. I think TV and film sounded exciting and fun and maybe more active and you get to be with more people than writing alone. So I've had a good career in that I've gotten to experience a little bit of both.
That's fantastic. I mean, I would understand why you would want to become an author and film writer, mainly because I guess, as you said, being a writer sometimes gets lonely, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, because like, when you're reading or writing, you connect and you feel like you're actually in your story, right? You feel like you're living your story, even if it's just fiction, right? And something you've never experienced in life. You somehow connect right? Because for me as well, when I'm writing my books or writing anything, I start connecting. Like, you know, even if I've never experienced that because it's a fantasy or whatever, I feel so happy when writing because you can connect. Like for me, my portal fantasy, which I'm currently writing, has one Indian character and one Korean character. Even though I'm not Korean, I can really connect with those characters because I have many friends who are Korean and many great authors who are, I know, are Korean, and I really appreciate them and want their stories to be told. So again, everyone who's doing this, I think you should make sure and try researching the cultures you're trying to portray, especially if you're not from that culture, because I know that sometimes common misunderstandings with certain cultures, like for Indians, many people think that they love playing cricket and they are, all of them are good at it, right? That's one common misconception. Some people are just not meant for cricket or just do not know how to play, but that's one stereotype, right? And actually, this stereotype was mentioned in one of the episodes I did with Raji LaRocca. So if you guys are interested in learning more about stereotypes and things which have been going on in the Indian world, you should definitely be checking out that episode. I'll tell you which episode is in the show notes. So anyways, yeah.
That's a very smart thing to share with everybody. I just finished writing a book and my agent is sending it out to publishers right now, and it takes place in Australia. And I've been to Australia a few times, but obviously I'm not Australian, but I did make sure to have an Australian friend read it and say, you know, especially with like just turns of phrase, you know, obviously they speak the same language, they speak English, but to read it and say, is this the way an Australian kid would talk, and tell me what words to change and all of that, or what just didn't feel real to somebody who lives there full time. So that's a good idea to like talk to people and have people read your material and give you input on those kinds of things.
I feel like what you said just now was the definition of a sensitivity reader, right?
Yeah. Yes.
A sensitivity reader, for anyone who does not know what that is, a sensitivity reader is a reader from the background you are writing for. That also does not mean that just for culture, it could just be any particular topic, which is very controversial at times, and sometimes it's just basic cultural groups. For example, as Tony just said, for Australia, she had an Australian friend read it for her and decide on whether it's there's something which are offensive or need to be changed, things like that. So sensory readers, as said in the name, are people who associate or understand what you're writing about and can fully give you like a background of whether what you're doing is right.
Yep.
For example, there's another thing in Indian books which authors who are not Indian write about. I've seen in a couple of books where they describe skin color of Indians in a very inaccurate way. They describe it in a way that makes kids who are Indian who are reading the book feel inferior because they feel like I'm not good enough because I'm not a certain color or something, right? And I feel like through this podcast, bringing on diverse authors, inclusive, bringing in the idea of diversity and inclusiveness just should inspire everyone to understand that you do not have to look a certain way. You can be whatever culture you are and still be a good person, still be a good writer, still be a good artist, still be a good like student, basically still be good even after being different, because as I've said in previous episodes, being different is what makes us unique. If everyone was like the same, like copy of each person, we would not be having a fun life. It'd be like looking into the mirror whenever you look at someone else.
If everyone was the same, where would any stories even come from?
Exactly.
Right. Life would be very boring.
Yeah, it would be like, I don't actually have bread with butter, but it would be like bread without jam or bread without like your favorite topping.
Right.
That's actually one of my favorite like sayings. It's not really saying, but like I kind of like that. So, my last question for you is, what advice would you give to young writers and young filmmakers?
Oh my gosh, I hate to quote the Nike phrase, but just do it. You don't have to think about growing up to be a writer. You can be a writer now. What's great about writing especially is that You don't really need anything else to do it. It doesn't cost any money. You don't have to, you don't need equipment. You don't even need other people, you know? All you need to have is an idea and a pen and paper or a computer or a laptop and ideas, you know? And you can start at any age. And you never stop learning. I would say keep learning. I still take writing classes. You never know it all. And even if you think you do, you take a new class, you go to a seminar, you listen to a new podcast, and you hear something in a new way that'll always help you be a better writer. So I would say write, get input from other writers, from friends of yours who also like to write. I know you've spoken about that with other authors. Create a critique group. Be open-minded when people tell you what they think works and what doesn't work. Don't just think that your thing is perfect on the first try. You know, revision is always something that writers have to deal with. That's actually a lot of advice. but mainly just write. And I think it's great that you are encouraging kids out there to write for TV, movies, so whatever.
Yeah, actually, that's amazing advice. I think that's the words that every young writer wants to hear and like inspires them to understand that you just need to write. Just writing makes you a writer. I've so far in most of my episodes prior to this year, like I've had this podcast going on for 2 years. And I've been saying aspiring writer, but then one author like tells me something which makes me understand that you're not aspiring to be a writer, you're aspiring to be an author, because a writer is someone who writes, and you are already writing if you're listening to the podcast or trying to get inspired to write.
Correct. And if you want to be published, this has started recently, I think. Instead of I'm an unpublished writer or an unpublished author, I'm a pre-published author. So that just puts you in the mindset that you will be published. You're just not quite there yet. You're pre-published.
Yeah, just kind of like manifest or think that you already are one, so that you will start working like a published author, so that when the time comes, you're already prepared and ready to go.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, and good luck to you and all of the other writers out there.
Same to you. So guys, that's the end of the episode. I hope you all enjoyed and loved our mystery guest, who, in case you didn't already understand, because her name was being used so much, her name was Toni Gallagher. I'll be putting her website into the show notes, and you guys can look at her shows. And if you decide to listen or watch any of for shows which are not meant for you guys, definitely keep a pen next to you. But otherwise, you're feel free to look around her website, find out more about her, whatever you need to. And I'll also be putting up the episode link for Rajni Laruka's episode. So yeah, have a great day, everyone. Keep reading and keep writing. Bye, guys.